A reading from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 42. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham, and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me, because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you've heard from the Father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are indeed doing what your father does." They said to him, "We are not illegitimate children. We have one Father, God Himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I am here. I did not come on my own, but He sent me." When writing some Bible notes or a meditation or preparing a sermon or talk, it can be very tempting to read the passage and then immediately look into some commentaries, and we've got lots, to see what those who have studied the text in great depth over many years have to say about it. What insights and wisdom can they bring? What perspectives do they give on the text? And commentaries and books can be very informative and help put the passage in context, help us to understand what else was going on at the time, the background history and the underlying political environment, who held the power, and what does the writer mean by using certain phrases, and why are they used in one particular place and not another, and so on. But perhaps the first thing we should do when we read a passage of scripture is ask, "What does this say to me?" One of the ways of doing this is by using Lectio Divina, which is just Latin for divine reading, and it's a traditional monastic practice. Lectio Divina probably dates back to the 3rd century and invites the reader, firstly, to read a passage of scripture. Secondly, to meditate on it or a particular word or phrase from it. Thirdly, to pray, as led by our reading and meditating. And then fourthly, to contemplate. Be quiet before God so we can hear God in all the noisiness of the world. Given that we seem to have a bit more time on our hands at the moment, it might be a good time to try Lectio Divina if you haven't done so before. And there are lots of resources on the internet which can help. And whilst Lectio Divina might not be for everybody, we are all invited to reflect on God's word and, as best we can, understand what it really means for us today. to reflect on how does today's reading or readings speak to me, where I am, today, in my circumstances, and in my own context. In a way, that's what Jesus is doing in the Gospel reading. His words seem quite harsh, and the concepts which are being expressed are quite forthright, and there's no holding back in the language that either party uses. And it seems even harder when we read that Jesus is not so much addressing those who overtly oppose him, those who seek to do all they can to undermine him and his ministry. We're told that Jesus is addressing the Jews who believed him, who believed in him and on him, as the various translations record. These people obviously had no problem understanding in their head that what Jesus said was true, but it hadn't quite filtered down as to what that might mean for their lives. And it must have been hard for them. For years, they had understood that adherence to the law was their means to freedom and a relationship with God. Jesus points out to them that what he brings in his words and presence is not an update to the law. It's not a new initiative of the Jewish faith. It's a completely new way of life, because he is the Son of God. He is the truth, and opens up a new and living way of being. One of John's themes in his gospel is that the truth is closely connected with the person of Christ. In the first chapter of his gospel, in a verse which frames today's reading, he tells us, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It is the truth that we have in Christ that truly liberates." Jesus was pointing out that this truth that liberates has to be more than just an intellectual agreement to what he was saying. It has to be a fundamental and personal understanding and acknowledgement of who he is and what that means. To those who believe themselves to be in a privileged position due to their national, social, political, financial, or religious position, Jesus points out that they were, in fact, slaves to the very things that they thought had brought them freedom. Jesus invites us all not to be slaves to the things which we thought bring us freedom, but to be family members with all the rights and privileges of an eternal inheritance and liberation which that brings. That's what true freedom looks like. Slaves have no assurance of the future. Only family members have that position. The Jews had assumed that being part of the family of Abraham, they were automatically part of the family of God, and they didn't need to do anything more. But that's not quite the whole story. Perhaps it was because this belief was so ingrained that the language used in this passage is so strong. We're more used to a Jesus who speaks in parables and seems to poke fun at some of the things he sees going on around him, some of them to do with the religious leaders of the time. A gentle and wise Jesus, who's prepared to confront the wrong he sees, but quite often in a quiet and thoughtful manner. But here, Jesus is in a hostile situation and needs to confront the urgent reality of that situation. It's truly a matter of eternal life or death. When Jesus speaks out, he tells of the promise of new life after death. But he also speaks out about a promise of freedom for the here and now, for some of those listening, they might have understood this as freedom from tyranny, freedom from injustice, freedom from the law, freedom from debt, or freedom from anxiety about the present times. For many today, that freedom is as needed now as it ever was. Jesus is clear about what it is that gives this liberating freedom. It is the truth of Christ himself, of who he is and what he has done and what he will do in the future. Many of the people Jesus addressed found it hard and could not accept the reality of the truth before them. The same is true today, but it does not change the reality of the truth we have in Christ and his desire and invitation to all to be free, truly free, by letting go of those things which enslave us and embracing and trusting completely in the liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which truly sets people free. A reading from Psalm 17, verses 1 to 8. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come, let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I will call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Saviour of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Guard me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings.